You're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. Joining us now is James Rigney, a member of the Space Association of Australia and a resident of Beaumaris, and he's been off to Space Fest. Well, welcome to The Space Show, James.
Thank you, Andrew.
Now, what is Space Fest?
Okay, well, Space Fest is a space convention. It's been held in the United States over the last 6 years in several different locations. This year it was held in Pasadena. Generally, it's known as Space Fest 6. Space Fests 1 to 5 were held in Phoenix, 3 in Tucson, and I think 1 in San Diego.
And so it's not the first one?
No, this is number 6.
Okay. And what sort of people attend this festival?
Firstly, it's put together by it's a privately run convention. It's put together by a couple by the name of Kim and Sally Poor. Now, Kim Poor is a space artist, and a large part of this convention is based around space art. So to answer your question, who attends it? This year I've put together a bit of a list. This year, for instance, as VIPs or as speakers, there were 10 Apollo astronauts, including five of the moonwalkers. We had 6 of the shuttle astronauts. There were 3 flight controllers from the Apollo days, approximately 12 planetary scientists, 12 astronomers, a whole truckload of authors, and a whole lot of journalists, along with a whole lot of space enthusiasts such as myself and a whole lot of other people from virtually every country around the world who seem to work in the space industry and who just love the opportunity to get together.
So what's the purpose of it?
Well, it's a good question. I guess it's a commercial venture put on by Kim and Sally Poor, but I'm sure the purpose is just to get like-minded people together to, I guess they're trying to make a bit of money out of it to sell art, amongst other things. It's a commercial venture. There's any number of ways that they raise money, from autograph signings to book sales, etc. I guess that's in the broad sense, that's the purpose of it, but that's lost in the background of of just the fun and the camaraderie and the, all the events that happen over a 4-day period.
So you presumably met lots of interesting people when you were there.
Oh, absolutely, Andrew. The nature of the event is that all of these people, I've got lists of them here, but I won't go through them all, but as I said, 5 of the moonwalkers, they're all just there. Most of them are very accessible. Most of them are terribly friendly and generally humble people and quite happy to have a chat when the opportunity presents. Depending on the type of ticket that you buy to attend this event, I bought a thing called a universal, which gets you into all sorts of things that go on over the course of the 4 days, including the opportunity to dine on a few occasions for lunch and dinner with some of these VIPs. So I had the opportunity, along with a couple of other people from the Space Association, I should mention, who attended, Patricia Larkin being one, Ian Barry. Kate Doolan was meant to go, our very own Kate Doolan, who was meant to go, in fact, as a VIP, as an author, but unfortunately pulled out at the last moment when she became ill. Mm. So because of the nature of the ticket that I had, I was very lucky to have the opportunity to have a meal with Dave Scott, Moonwalker, Seth Shostak, who runs the SETI Institute, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, Alan Bean. We had a meal with Alan Bean. But over the course of the weekend, you'd get plenty of opportunities just to have time or have a drink with all of the VIPs.
Mm. Well, James, you're allowed to name drop here. So mention some of the astronauts that you rubbed shoulders with.
Oh, well, this year, to various extents, some access to some of these guys is fairly limited because they're in demand. Buzz Aldrin was there. I didn't get to had a very brief encounter with Buzz, but didn't get to spend much time with him. Gene Cernan, had a very small meeting with Gene Cernan. Edgar Mitchell had the opportunity. Moonwalker had the opportunity to spend a fair amount of time with Edgar Mitchell. Who else? There's a whole lot of other people who aren't necessarily Apollo moonwalkers who are terrific people to meet. Andy Chaikin, Seth Shostak, I had the opportunity to have a good talk to.
Seth Shostak, he's been on the space show before. What's he famous for now?
Seth Shostak, well, he's probably famous for his media appearances, and he's become pretty much the spokesman for the ongoing search for extraterrestrial life. a program called SETI, which runs out of California, which he runs, I believe. So whenever they need a spokesman for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, it's Seth Shostak they wheel out.
Okay. And is he still hunting for extraterrestrials?
He is indeed. It's interesting.
I mean, this is serious. It's not a joke.
No. We had a very interesting discussion with Seth, and I put the question to him that, in your opinion, what is the, as a percentage, what is the likelihood of there being intelligent, sentient life, as they call it, out there? And he said absolutely 100%, which I found very interesting. So it's just a question of finding it. And we're not talking about bacteria, we're talking about intelligent life.
Yeah, okay. Because many people would accept it. Okay, there's lots of planets there with bacteria on them, but sentient life, that is people who, well, beings that are intelligent thinking, would be a lot rarer, wouldn't it? And then those that are technological would be the only ones we could ever contact. Most people put a pretty slim chance on that, but he's still on the chase.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned Gene Cernan.
Yes.
Last man on the moon.
Yes.
The second last to step on the moon, but the last man to step off the moon, Apollo 17. What was your impression of him?
Well, he's pretty much the astronaut's astronaut. He's still a very active spokesman for the space industry. He's very political. He's recently given talks before the US Congress and so on. So he's held in very high esteem within the space community. He's a gentleman like all these people. You know, you think they're amazing people. When you meet them, they're quite grounded and very, very pleasant people. He's along with Buzz, he's probably the celebrity astronaut, I would say, from my experience. He's very much in demand.
Hmm. Were there any astronauts from the earlier Gemini and even Mercury programs there?
Last year we had, this is the second year in a row I've attended this event. This year Pasadena, last year in Tucson. Last year we were very lucky to have Scott Carpenter attend. I think that was in June. The event was in June, and I think he passed away in October, November, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. He was the only, to my knowledge, he was the only active guy from the Mercury program who attends these kind of functions. I think the only one still living is John Glenn, who doesn't do this kind of thing.
Which is surprising, actually, because he was actually the oldest of the Mercury astronauts. And he's still going strong.
Well, I had the opportunity to have through the type of ticket I have, to have a meal with Scott Carpenter. So that was quite exceptional and quite an honour. Mm. He was very frail, very very mentally alert and very happy to talk and tell stories and just a great experience and a great honour. Absolutely. He's considered pretty much the grandfather of these guys, and he's held in esteem. I've been in a room where the Apollo astronauts have given Scott Carpenter a standing ovation, so that's the kind of esteem that he's held in, or was held in, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. What about the Gemini program?
Well, of course, a lot of the Apollo guys crossed over into the Gemini program, so, you know, Gene Cernan was Gemini, Dave Scott was Gemini, Jim McDivitt was Gemini, Dick Gordon, don't ask me which missions, but that tends to get lost, as you're well aware. There tends to be a kind of emphasis on the Apollo missions, and the Gemini missions, of course, which led up to the Apollo, don't get the same kind of status, really. Mm. Perhaps historically they do, but not in terms of the public and the adulation that these guys get.
Did you find them all approachable, or were there some that were a bit standoffish?
But as I said, I didn't get to talk to. But I've met Buzz Aldrin before, and he was once you get through to them, they're quite happy to have a chat. But every single one of these fellows that I met, and there's probably five or six of the Apollo guys I got to speak to, were very, 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 very friendly, very friendly.
Now, Pasadena, where this is held, is, of course, the home of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is in charge of the unmanned missions to the planets. Were there any planetary scientists there?
Oh, absolutely. JPL is only about 5 miles from where the event was held, And in fact, part of the reason it was held there was because of that connection. So we were lucky enough that one of the organisers, or one of the speakers at the event, one of the authors actually, had contacts within JPL, organised a tour for a group of people. So we did get the chance the day before the event started to have a tour of JPL with John Callis, who was in fact the project manager for the Spirit and Opportunity Rover project. Of course, the Opportunity is still going, and he's very proud of that. But there were a lot of people there. There was, I'll stretch my memory here a bit, but I'll just look at my list here. Mark Raymond, who's the chief engineer for the Dawn mission, was there.
Caroline Porco, I think you mentioned once before to me.
Yes, I'm not sure. Is she JPL?
She was very much involved in the Galileo mission that we're going to be looking at later in the program. And she's now very much involved in the Cassini mission to Saturn.
Okay. What I would like to say is that part of the event, we had a reunion of the gentleman who put together the Voyager mission. That was really something. So long retired, of course, but there was Ed Stone and Charles, help me out here.
Charles Ilachi?
No, sorry.
So, I should mention, Charles Ilachi is the current director of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Charles Kohlhaas, not sure how to pronounce his name, is the one who is involved in Voyager, yes.
Correct. Along with a lady called Suzanne Dodds, who's the current project manager for the Voyager mission, of course, which are both still going strong. So that was really something. That was, in fact, at the end, they gave a talk. It was, I believe, the first time they've been together for some time. And received a standing ovation. I think the awe in which these guys are held, in which the project is held within the space community, is quite incredible. So that was really something to hear them speak and to have the opportunity to meet both of those as well was really something.
Ed Stone has visited Melbourne quite a few times, and we've had him on the Space Show here previously. And if listeners are interested, they could go to our website, our Space Show website, and download the actual interviews and talks that he's given to the Space Show. That's www.southernfm.com.au/space. Then go to the alphabetical list of names, which you'll see listed on that page there. And on that alphabetical list of names, go down to S for Stone, and you'll find Stone there, as well as some of the other astronauts we've been talking about today. Okay, any other scientists that sort of piqued your interest when you were there?
Oh, well, there was just, now that I've had a chance to look at my list here, there was Dr. Richard Cook, who is the project manager for the Curiosity project.
That's the lander on Mars.
Correct. Nick Gautier, who is the Kepler, he works for JPL. He's the Kepler exoplanet mission. They're out looking for planets, something like Earth.
Yes. Was there an update on the status of Kepler while you were there from him?
I didn't know. Not that I heard.
Okay.
One of the problems is
Kepler had problems with its gyroscopes and isn't able to point accurately at the stars at the moment. But they're trying to revive it. It was the last I heard. But
Andrew, over the course of the 3 days, there are many, many lectures and presentations put on by these guys. Often they're held simultaneously. There might be two or three of these happening in different rooms at the same time. And it's frustrating that you really have to cherry pick which ones you can attend. Any of them, if they were in Melbourne, you'd go to any length to hear them speak. Over there, they're happening all over the place and you just can't do it. But that was quite incredible, yeah.
I gather you're a bit like a child in a lolly shop and you're told that, well, you can have one of that type and one of that type, and you've got to pick between dozens of them and dozens of choices, all of which are desirable.
Absolutely, yeah. But there's, you talk about who did you meet, but there's a lot more going on than who's there. You know, there's the lectures, there's authors, there's book signings, there's special presentations. Gene Cernan gave a presentation. They've recently made a documentary about his life called Last Man on the Moon, or not specifically about his life, but about the impact being the last man on the moon had on him. That's only several weeks old. He gave a presentation on that. There's just things happening everywhere, really, over the course of those 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I must say, too, it's not just about these guys. You come across Over the course of the 3 days, you meet many, many people from around the world. You make some incredible friendships, you know, and that's, to me, having done two of these, that's as significant a part of why one should attend these things as having the incredible opportunity to meet and experience these, you know, these great people.
You mentioned to me before we went on air that they had movie showings. Now, to me, if I've got a choice between going to see a movie and going to actually shake the hands of some of these guys, I'd be shaking the hands every time. After a movie, I can see that some other time. Did you see any of the movies?
No, for that exact same reason. I mean,
right.
No.
So what were some of the movie choices that were available?
Well, the main one, as I said before, was they had pretty much the launch of the Gene Cernan program. And I kind of, it's only when you're back on the plane, you hit yourself on the head and say, why didn't I do that? But he was giving a presentation as the movie was being shown. He was up on stage giving a presentation, introducing it and talking people through the movie. But I had something on in the next room while that was going on. I was doing something else, so I wish I'd seen that. The Wonder of It All is another movie which has been around for several years. That the producer of that show was at Spacefest, and he, as he was last year, and they had several showings of that as well. But, yeah, why would you go to a movie?
The Wonder of It All has, of course, been screened in Melbourne here. Okay, authors. I believe there was some Australian connection.
There was. There was probably everywhere you look over there, you're bumping into an author. I felt like the only person who hadn't written a book at some stage. but the Australian connection that you're talking about is essentially there's a series of books that's been produced called Outward Odyssey. They're up to about 12 or 13 or 14 in the series. They're all fabulous books, and each book covers a different era of the space program. Now, they're put together by a fellow called Colin Burgess, who's an ex-Qantas employee turned author himself. He's written a couple of these. He now edits and arranges basically for other authors to add to this series. He attended last year. He was meant to attend this year, and he's very popular over there. He's a fabulous guy. He's on first-name basis with everybody in NASA and all the astronauts. He's just a wonderful guy, great ambassador for Australia, great author. So they put together a panel of pretty much all the authors who've put books together in that series. Now, Kate Doolan, who's well known to you as a member of the Space Association.
Yes, and she's a great friend of the Space Show. She's been on our show a number of times.
She was meant to appear and as part of that group, but unfortunately took ill a few days before we left. So that's the Australian connection there, very strong. So I really urge anyone who has the opportunity to look at these books, Outward Odyssey, it's called, series. But, any number of other, Andy Chaikin, there's
Andrew Chaikin being famous for?
Well, he's written many, many space books, but A Man on the Moon, is that correct?
Yes.
Became the series that Tom Hanks produced. But he's become pretty much a spokesman for space. Even though he's written a number of books, he's a spokesman in a lot of areas for space. So,
yes, you often see him pop up on documentaries on TV.
Correct, yeah.
Panel discussions. I see on your list of things that were on. What were they about? What happened?
Well, again, the panels were run simultaneously, which is quite frustrating. I attended the Voyager panel, which was, something I really wanted to do. But they also had Mars Curiosity panel. They had an asteroid panel. They had I think there were about five or six panels. What I should mention is on the very first night, as the opening event, they had an Apollo astronaut panel, where they pretty much had the, I think there were about 10 or 11 Apollo astronauts up on stage just reminiscing, as these guys like to do. That was pretty exciting to see all these fellows in one place.
Autographs. Yes. Whenever there's an astronaut or anyone famous,
yes,
film star, whatever, there's always someone there wanting an autograph. Would the autograph hunter have been happy there?
Well, it depends how much money they had in their wallet, I'd say.
So they weren't just free.
Anyone will sign anything. The authors were signing their books, and, it's a huge industry, and one can't help but get caught up in all that, I must admit. The astronauts now charge for their signatures, and Buzz Aldrin is currently charging $600 per signature, and he had a queue out the door pretty much, so he had a pretty good weekend. Hopefully some of that goes back to Spacefest, or as I like to call it, Spendfest. But, part of the structure of the weekend is is that these astronauts make themselves available for autograph signings for two of the afternoons, and you know they get a pretty good turn up. So I managed to sneak a few in.
Yes, you must remember that astronauts were on a government pay rate. They were not paid any extra to go to the moon or whatever, except they got an away from home allowance, which was just a couple of dollars. They got paid about the same as a teacher or whatever gets, so they didn't get rich by that. They had to make investments otherwise. So a lot of them are actually sort of using the signature thing now as a means of income.
Yeah, yeah, and good luck to them. I mean, I mentioned Buzz Aldrin at $600, but the shuttle pilots and, you know, they're probably charging $50, $60, $75 for a signature, you know, so that's not too bad.
Yes.
And, you know, the bigger the name you are, I guess it goes up to a couple of hundred dollars.
Someone said to me when I was in America in 2010 how sad it was that someone like Buzz Aldrin had to go on Dancing with the Stars TV show in order to make ends meet. And how sad, you know, there was a guy who was the second person to step on the moon on the first moon landing mission. He'd been a military aviator and all those sorts of things. And there he was having to go on a TV show in order to put the food on his table.
Oh, I'm not sure. Buzz has got a little...
He's maybe not that poor, but
Buzz has got a little industry going. But I think the same could be... What you said would be true of pretty much all the other astronauts. I'm not sure that any of them are getting rich out of what they've done or what they're currently doing or anything else. But I think Buzz Aldrin's turned it into a little bit of an industry, but good luck to him for that.
And your wife was there.
She was.
Wife Vicky.
She was.
And what was she doing?
Well, I dangled a carrot that we'd do a bit of travelling around after Space Fest, but she's not a great space addict herself. But she actually, or more importantly, I volunteered Vicky as a volunteer to work at Space Fest. They need a number of people, several dozen people to, like each of the astronauts needs someone to help them out through the day and people running errands and there's lots of tasks to be done. So... at no cost, if you're prepared to turn up as a volunteer, which a lot of people do just to get there, just to get in the door. So they're over there and they're rubbing shoulders and having a lot of fun and a lot of adventures with these people at no cost, because they're happy to put themselves out there as a volunteer. But Vicky had a lot of fun. She had a great time and made some good friends over there.
Okay. Speaking of cost, how much does it cost to not get there? Obviously, you've got the airfare and all that sort of thing and... hotel accommodation, but how much does it cost to actually get in the door of the festival?
Well, that depends on what you want to go to. There's lots of events on over the 4 days. Lots of the talks are free. Lots of the talks, or some of the talks, are $10, and that's quite so people can turn up for the 2 days and maybe go to a dozen talks and, you know, not spend a lot of money or not spend anything. I chose the thing called a universal package, which if anyone is thinking of doing it, it's a lot of money. That was about $1,100 or $1,200, but that got you into everything. It was a pass for the whole weekend, basically, including a few meals and including the incredible opportunity to sit down and dine with some of these great guys. So look, if you can, as I've said to people, you know, sell the car if you have to, but find the money to do it. If you are going to go over there, I really recommend that's... It is a lot of money, obviously, but, you know, having gone that far and having spent that much, if you can do Space Fest in that manner, I think it's definitely the way to do it. But, you know, other people just turn up, they just want some autographs or they just want to attend a few lectures, and that's fine too.
Now, you mentioned that you went on some tours outside of the festival, and I believe you got into SpaceX.
I did.
What is SpaceX?
Well, SpaceX is a private space company. They're in the suburbs of Los Angeles, in Hawthorne, which is just about 20 miles out of Los Angeles. They are currently, people should know, what NASA is currently doing is outsourcing a lot of their space program to private industry. And there's probably half a dozen companies who are very active in what will be the future of space at the moment, but there's one company which is standing head and shoulders above the others at the moment, and that's SpaceX. Now, SpaceX are developing their own rockets, their own capsules. They've been able, in the last 2 years, to actually launch rockets and send supply vehicles to the International Space Station. As well as that, they've got long-term goals to go to Mars and a whole lot of things. So they're very, very active and,
So how did you get in? I mean, did you just rock up to the door and knock, knock? Hi, I'm Jim Rigney from Melbourne, Australia. Let me in, please. I want to have a look around. It wasn't that easy.
There was one fellow at SpaceFest who'd sent 7 emails before he went over there to SpaceX, inquiring about the possibility of some sort of visit, and he didn't receive a reply on any of them. They just don't do that sort of thing. To put it into context, there's currently an auction going on online to visit SpaceX as a charity fundraiser. I believe it's the winning bidder gets to take a group of 10 through SpaceX for a two-hour visit, which is essentially what I got to do along with my wife. The bidding is currently up to $10,500 with 9 or 10 days to go. So that's it's pretty hard to get into this place. But a little bit of a background story there is that Peter Aylward, who is the president of the Space Association of Australia, had been corresponding with a fellow who there's an Australian fellow who works in SpaceX by the name of Andrew Howard, and Peter had been corresponding over a period of some months to hopefully set up an interview, which is part of what Peter does. And unfortunately, that didn't come about due to security issues. Elon Musk, who runs SpaceX, is in fact one of the co-founders of PayPal. He's currently worth about $8 billion and putting a great amount of that money into this space program. And so there's a lot of security and they're pretty careful about who says what. Now, there's an Australian fellow, as I said, Andrew Howard. He's a boy from Mount Martha and Melbourne University. Currently is one of the senior engineers working for SpaceX. So as I said, Peter was trying to set up a bit of an interview with Andrew, and nothing really came of that. But at the end of it, Andrew emailed Peter and said, "Look, I'm sorry, Peter, we can't do this. But if you're ever over here, I'd love to give you the opportunity to come and visit the plant." And Peter said, "Well, actually, I won't be doing that for some time, but I do have a friend who will be over there next week." And many, many emails later, and there's a bit to do before he did it, but Peter pulled it off. So there we were. So we arranged to have a private tour with Andrew through SpaceX, which was really something.
So SpaceX make rockets, and did you see some of those?
Oh, yes. The factory is essentially one large building, and within that they produce their own rockets, they produce their own engines, pretty much everything they're doing they manufacture themselves. So they're modelling what they do on the automotive industry, strangely enough, a totally different model to what NASA have been doing, and they're aiming to do what they do better and a hell of a lot cheaper than what NASA have been doing, and so far that's succeeding very well.
Mm. And they produce the Dragon capsule, which has been sent to the International Space Station a number of times. You saw that?
Yes, indeed.
One of those?
Yes.
Actually flown in space?
Yes. Yes, it's all there. You walk in this large factory, it's all there. There's just one big space, and everywhere you look, there's bits of rockets and there's capsules, and one of the flown capsules is on display hanging from the ceiling. And
so you didn't get to touch it?
A little bit higher. No.
A bit
and unfortunately, the one sad point part of this tour was that there were no photographs to be taken, unfortunately.
Aww.
So
so you can't show us any?
No, we're on the radio.
Okay. A few days ago, SpaceX unveiled the next version of their Dragon spacecraft, which is going to take people into space. Did you see that?
Correct. No, there were the one down, apart from the photos, was that parts of the factory were off limits because we are not Americans. So they've got some very strict laws about exporting technology and security with foreign nationals, which I did try to emphasise that we're on their side, but that didn't seem to get. But look, we got to see maybe 90% of the factory. But
yeah,
I imagine
it's like when you go into the States, foreign, US citizens, foreigners. What, me, foreign? I'm not foreign. Americans are foreign.
Exactly. I imagine that new, because there was so much security about the launch of that new capsule, which was only a week or so after we'd been there.
By launch, you mean unveiling to the public?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I imagine that would have all been tucked away in the back corner somewhere, but
he didn't sort of manage to lift up the cover
veil. No, I would have tried
and have a sneak peek.
I'll do what I can. But we had a pretty extensive tour of the factory, and they're developing their own space suits and their own rockets and their own capsules, and yeah, it was quite something. So quite a privilege to be able to go through that.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Jim. Welcome to have you. We've been speaking with James Rigney, a member of the Space Association of Australia and a good resident of Beaumaris. This is the Space Show with Andrew Rennie.
This is Southern FM 88.3.